Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with verse 16. And Peter here speaks of his blessing from God to witness the great transfiguration of our Lord. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God, the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Many years ago, I was at a wedding reception, and a woman happened to be sitting across the table from me who was not of my congregation and started talking to me about how she had recently left her church, and she wanted my approval as to why she had done that. And the reason she had left her church was this. About a year earlier, she had been down in a South American country doing some work among the poor and on behalf of her congregation, and had been helping build some houses there. And while she was up on the roof, apparently, she claimed she had a vision of Jesus that came to speak with her. And she was so excited by this. And she came back and told her pastor about it. And her pastor said to her, "Well, that's quite an experience. I can't deny that you've had that experience. And yet, the Bible warns us that the devil can even show up in this way. And God warns us not to be caught up in thinking that this is how he's going to come to us." Well, she didn't like to hear that. And she said, I want some time on one of these upcoming Sundays in church to tell my testimonial about what happened, to tell my story of this great experience that happened to me." And he apparently nicely tried to tell her that that wasn't going to happen. And she finally quit the church because she wanted to go somewhere where she could tell this great experience and explain this marvelous event that had happened to her. Think about the transfiguration, as we heard preached about yesterday, how the scriptures record what a fantastic event that must have been, to see the glory of Christ, that his face shone like lightning, and to have these towering figures of Moses and Elijah present. And I always think, how did the disciples know them and recognize them? They didn't have pictures of them and so on, and yet they knew who it was. What an amazing event this must have been. And Peter refers to that, having been one of those that was selected by God to witness this fantastic event. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of Christ's glory." How wonderful that would be to be in the presence of Christ's glory and to have him shining like that in front of us. There's no other account in the scriptures, even in the gospels, that gives us quite the same glorified vision that we have of Christ in the transfiguration. There's nothing else that seems to get the same kind of attention that we see here. We probably wouldn't have blamed St. Peter if he decided to go on and on for pages about describing what this was like and what the experience was like for him and how it made him feel and everything else. We probably wouldn't blame him for that. We hear that it was such a fantastic event that they wanted to build tabernacles to Christ and these two great figures. Today, even on Mount Tabor, where many believe this took place, although we're not sure, there is a Christian church with very unique tabernacles that reflect the very thing that seems to be talked about among the disciples. So Peter had ample opportunity to launch into a further explanation of this great and marvelous event, and he has plenty of opportunity to totally dwell on what an experience this must have been for him and so on. But instead, he cuts it short. We just get a couple verses about it. And then he points us back to something else. He points us back to the Word of God. And he says that this prophetic Word of God is where our faith can be confirmed, where it can be strengthened. This is where the Word of God and where the truth about God is strengthened to us. It's as if Peter is saying, yes, I had this fantastic experience, and I could go on and on about it, but if there's one place I want you to look, if there's one place where I want you to go to make sure to find God and to get your strength for your faith and for your spiritual life, it's not going to be in some great vision or experience you're going to get. Go back to the Word. Go back to God's true and holy Word. Now, if you're like me, and I think every Christian has often thought, what would it be like to have had Jesus come and speak to us? What would it be like to have some magnificent presence of God come and show his glory to us in this world? We look forward to that someday in heaven, but wouldn't it be great to have that here and now? And we like to imagine that if that were to happen in my life, if somehow God could come and do that in my life, my faith would be stronger. I would be more dedicated and more committed to this Savior if God would just do that. Why doesn't he do that? It would make me such a better Christian. But God himself says, this is not how I have chosen to operate in the world. He has not told us to go looking for signs. He's not told us to go looking for visions. He's not told us to go looking for places and ways that he's going to come to us in a supernatural way. Not that he couldn't, of course he could, he's God. But he himself has bound himself as to how he wants to communicate with you and how he wants to address you and deal with you through his word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in this life, when the just here just live by faith, that's where God wants us to find him. We may have fantastic experiences. It's possible. We may see an angel. We may think we see Christ someday in this life. I had a friend I used to work with that came to work one day all excited, and he told me that he found out I was studying for the ministry. He said, months ago I got a vision. Jesus was at the end of my bed when I woke up in the middle of the night, and he was talking to me. I said, what did he say? He said, I should go into the ministry. I said, are you going to do that? He said, I don't know. I said, are you really convinced that was Christ? Well, I don't know. We may have some tremendous experience we can't explain, something that appears supernatural that we can't explain. But here's the issue from God's perspective. Don't invest your spiritual life and your faith into that. Someday when you get to heaven, you'll find out, was it really from God or of the devil? Because he can dress up like an angel of light too. But as for right now in this life, God doesn't direct you to those things or to be caught up in those things. In fact, he warns us about them. And he says instead, go back to my word. Now, why would Peter direct us back to God's word? Because this word is prophetic from God, and the Holy Spirit has breathed his truth right into the very pens of the writers as they put these words down. And it's there alone where we know the true will of God. It's where we learn the truth about ourselves, where we learn the truth about how sinful and wicked we are, and where we see how absolutely desperate and hopeless we would be looking ahead at our coffins someday were it not for Christ. But it's also in that wonderful prophetic word of God where the Holy Spirit has breathed in the wonderful gospel, the good news of our salvation, the hope of heaven, the free forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake, the holy, perfect righteousness you and I need to stand before God is given to us there, and faith receives it. The reason that Peter directs us back to this old dusty book, the Word of God, is because it is Christ. He is the Word made flesh. When you have the Word, you have Christ. You cannot get any closer to God in this life than through his Word. And so blessed are those who hear that Word of God and keep it. Amen.